Welcome back, everybody. I've had the honor over the years to introduce this man many times to you, but never the way I can now introduce him. Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia sports fans, Hall of Famer, Dick Vermeil. Dick, congratulations on an amazing speech.
Well, thank you. I was so fortunate that the president of the Hall of Fame came to me minutes before I go on eliminated the 8-minute limit.
Oh!
Yeah. And so it really enabled me to mention people's names. Of course, when you do that, you miss a few that you should have mentioned. But it really allowed me to be more spontaneous and really say what I had to say. In 8 minutes, I would not have been able to do that.
Right. It was 23. I watched it twice, Dick. I loved it. And here's what I took from it. The overriding theme, all these people you thanked, was your own humility. How you wanted to give credit to so many people who were part of your success. Could you tell me where your humility comes from?
I think understanding what it takes to win, conglomeration of many different people put together, and you as a head coach, your job is to synchronize how they think, synchronize how everybody goes to work, synchronize how everybody plays a game, synchronize how everybody appreciates each other, you know. And for me to get up and say anything different would be a contradiction to what I talked about throughout my whole career, especially as I matured. You know, like I say, you know, Wilbert Montgomery doesn't break that 47-yard run against the Cowboys and set a theme for everybody else, you know, or Carl Harrison doesn't get that early sack and right away set the tempo for the rest of the team to play. You know, I'm not there. You know, it's that simple. And sometimes we complicate the facts that it takes to winning, to win. And to me, it's always been about the things the group do together. And every once in a while, individuals like Jaworski step up and really get it done for everybody else.
You're at UCLA, Dick, and you said basically that if you had not beaten Ohio State, it's a pretty good chance you never would have gotten the offer to be an Eagles coach. You went back to that. Do you think that was what got you to Philadelphia?
Oh, I believe that. I definitely believe that. You know, you asked Jimmy Murray, Leonard Tosh and Jimmy Murray, after watching that game and Woody Hayes come across and congratulate me, they left Philadelphia, flew to Southern California, moved into the Beverly Hills Hotel, and started calling me.
Yeah.
And if we hadn't won that ball game, I'm just another coach that lost the Rose Bowl. So, you know, I sincerely believe that. And that's why I had John Shira there. You know, when I told the committee there that I was going to put my three quarterbacks with me on the gold jacket ceremony, I was going to bring John Shira with me in the presentation. They said, well, it's never been done. I said, well, it's about time. And
wow.
Because really, you know, those guys, you know, they play the game. That they make those plays. And I can't tell you how many big plays I've seen made in games that had nothing to do with coaching. Everything to do with the gift and the coaching staff putting them in a position to make those plays. You know.
All right, but it wasn't just the players. You told this great story about John Wooden and how you were unhappy about you had not been able to recruit all the players you want. What did John Wooden say, and how did that stick with you for so many years, Dick?
Well, it was the day after the national signing letter, my first year at USC as the head coach. And I walked by off, and I stuck my head in his office. And I said, John, we lost some real good players to USC. And he said, you know something, Coach? USC is always going to have better players than you. You just make sure you do the best job of coaching every guy you have and make them the best they can be, and everything else will take care of itself. I have never, ever forgot that. And from that day on, it's probably the most dominating statement that reflects my philosophy I've ever heard or had anybody make to me.
Wow, that's an awesome thing. And you said something else that blew my mind. Dick, you are a great coach. I mean, a great coach. And you said that if Mike Jones does not make the tackle at the end of Super Bowl 34, I think it was, that you wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame, that that last play got you in the Hall of Fame. You really believe that?
Yeah, it just happened thing. Dan Reeves has coached 5 Super Bowl teams, not one of them. Didn't win one of them, you know? And today in the modern world, you got to win that game to get in there. Really, it's very, very difficult to get in, then get the votes and get draw the attention. But and there's no question, if Jeff Fisher's team, who deserved to win the game just as much as we did, wins that game, you know, he's competing to be a Hall of Fame coach someday down the road. You know, it's just that's the dynamics of our evaluation system today. And it's not 100% correct. There's a lot of value in it. But I really believe some of the finest coaches I have ever seen coach never coached a Super Bowl team.
Wow. That's a stunner. I'll tell you another one. Because I would have thought you got in long before you did, right, Dick? You
no.
kind of pointed out if Sal Palantonio of ESPN did not use his influence to seriously consider you, you're not sure you would have gotten in anyway, right?
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah?
Sal was my presenter to the voters, the 48 people, and he did a beautiful job. Obviously, they believed him. A number of people organized by Carl Peterson sent letters of recommendation. Owners, general managers, Andy Reid, Tower, you know, so many fine coaches and players that reinforced and added credibility to what Sal had to say. And, you know, so I will always be in debt to those people.
You made a comment that blew my mind when you alluded to your own insecurity. Dick, mm-hmm. what a insecurity. You got the Eagles to the Super Bowl. You won one. Why? What made you insecure, especially earlier in your career?
Well, you know, coming up and coaching like I did, and you Sunday you're watching the high school, I mean, the NFL coaches coach, the Tom Landry's, the George Land, you know, all these great coaches, you know, I just held them in such high esteem, had such admiration for them, you know, and college coaches, the Bud Wilkinsons, you know, the Bear Bryants. And then all of a sudden, finding myself coaching against them and alongside of them, I never put myself in that category. You know something? I never will, and I really don't want to. I want to hold those people up to a level that I could never reach. You know, I'm no genius. I've never tried to outsmart anybody. I always felt I could outwork somebody. I always felt I could outprepare somebody. I always felt maybe I could get my team on a consistent basis to play harder, longer, and faster. And that was my approach. And I think my own insecurity was part of my problem because I wouldn't listen to people when they told me, you got to quit sleeping in your office. You can't go on 4 hours sleep a day, because I was afraid I wasn't doing a good enough job to support my organization and my team. I never wanted the feeling that someone else could come in and take my team and win more games with my guys than I could. So it just drove me.
Wow. Dick, I was waiting the whole time to see when you would, you know, get too emotional, because it's been your reputation.
Yeah,
I
no
think
question.
It only really happened one time when you brought up, and by the way, you and your wife, Carol,
wow.
You are the youngest looking octogenarians in history. All right. But Dick, when you brought Carol up, that was the best part of the whole speech. How did you hold it together?
Well, you know, I was able to get through the whole thing. You notice I didn't talk about Ron Jaworski.
No.
Okay, I started talking about Ron Jaworski, I just started crying.
Ah.
And I purposely put individual, real serious conversations about any one of my guys like that I'm that close to, because I knew what, and I didn't want that to overpower the rest of the things I was going to say. And, you know, when I left my 8-minute preparation about 10 minutes before I went on, because the president, Jim Porter, told me, just do what you want to do, Vermeil.
Wow.
And that allowed me to recognize Leonard Tose and Jim Murray and have his grandson and the granddaughter stand up. It allowed me. John Shaw would never take credit for being involved in that Super Bowl win. But like I said yesterday, How many owners would hire a guy that's been out of coaching 18 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Or 14 years.
Right.
No one would, you know? So, and when I was put in the Ring of Honor, okay, in St. Louis, I asked John Shaw to stand by me. He wouldn't do it. So yesterday I forced him to receive the acknowledgement that he deserved.
It's tremendous. All right, Nick, now that you're a Hall of Famer, I have to every once in a while ask you a very profound question, all right? So now, all these young coaches, we got one right here in Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. What's the best advice a Hall of Fame coach can give these young coaches?
Be yourself. Do the way you believe in it. Chances are, George Allen told me this, chances are you're going to get fired anyway, so you might as well do it your way. And he's doing it a little different way. I hope the hell it works. I really, really do. I'm pulling for him. Howie Roseman has assembled an unbelievable, fine, talented group of people out there. I was out on that field last week, and I'll tell you, there isn't anybody that can't move. It's an impressive group of athletes, and he's got great passion and everything. And I'm just pulling for him to be extremely successful with his new approach.
Wow. Dick, all I could say to you is you're an inspiration to this city. We are honored to be able to put you on after Eagles games. And congratulations on one of the greatest speeches anybody's ever given at a Hall of Fame. I mean that.
Well, nice of you to say, and that thank you. You know, that, like I said yesterday, I feel like I know every Philadelphia Eagle fan personally. I really do.
Well, it's awesome. Dick, thank you so much for doing this. We'll be talking to you after Eagle games.
Congratulations.